This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast. Come on, Red!
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone subscribing, following, listening, of course, and watching the podcast. Our 94 WIP YouTube page, Tucker Bagley will join me, as he always does, on our video podcast in a few minutes, give his take on really the biggest thing going on right now. I know Eagles training camp coming up. We'll have a lot of Eagles stuff on the show next, months, but certainly this next couple of days. But, there's kind of dueling things going on in Philadelphia sports right now. Eagles training camp about to open. And, of course, the Phillies, as they lose 2-3 in Cleveland, coming off of, not great at the end against Milwaukee. Couple tough series for them. Now come home for Baltimore, which would be a really fun series against a really good, really exciting Orioles team. But the Phillies – as we look at the playoff picture, there's five teams is separated by about a half a game in the NL wild card. And the Phillies certainly have a chance, a good chance to make the playoffs. But I felt this all year. They're no lock. There's just a lot of up and down. And what really has become clear through a lot of games now, we're basically two-thirds through the season, is they need another bat. However you want to configure that bat in, they need another bat. We've talked about so many different options here, from the logical to maybe the illogical but fun, like Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto. But as I view the Phillies, and we watched Bryce Harper play first base this weekend, and I thought he played it well. I thought he showed obviously an athleticism that carried over from his outfield days, but more of an instinct to get the ball, especially on the ground, than I thought he would. He had that ball where he kind of fell into the crowd, the camera well after he caught it. I like what I saw to Bryce Harper first base, but from what we understand right now, it's not an everyday proposition. The Phillies are going to give him days in between. I imagine this is still what his program of throwing. So that means you're going to see Bryce Harper back at DH some days and someone else has to play first base. So as you kind of go through all the possibilities for the Phillies between now and the August 1st trade deadline, they could get a first baseman and take Harper off of first. They could get a left fielder and really hope Harper could play first base on a more consistent basis. Or they could try to thread the needle and get the one player that feels like the perfect fit for the Phillies, just considering their roster dynamics this year. And that's Cody Bellinger, the first baseman / outfielder for the Chicago Cubs, of course, formerly with the Los Angeles Dodgers. If you were drawing up a perfect Phillies trade deadline acquisition for just this year, not a guy that's going to cost a ton because it's a rental, not a guy that's locked into one position, so you have to either play Schwarber left field every day or you have to play Bryce at first every day, but they can actually do both and is hitting well right now, it's Bellinger. The only thing he doesn't bring is a right-handed stick. He's a left-handed batter. But I think as you look at the Phillies and you look at their splits versus lefties and righties, it's about even their team OPS. I don't think the need is so glaring. It's just a matter of how Topper kind of sets up the lineup so he doesn't stack the lefties all on top of each other, even though he made a case the lefties all should be near the top. But that's a different kind of debate. But I think it could work. Bellinger is having an excellent bounce back season and at one point was the MVP of National League. So let's dive into why I think Cody Bellinger really is, if you're drawing up the perfect Phillies trade deadline candidate, why he checks all the boxes. All right, so let's just start with this. He's having a big year. I mean, his back and You know, in 2019, he won the MVP. He looked like he was one of the ascending stars in baseball. Then he had a shoulder injury. And he really wasn't the same for years. His power just evaporated. And that happens in those with shoulder injuries. They take a long time to recover from. Pitchers or hitters, shoulders are really tricky. Elbows, they could fix. You know, Tommy John, it's fixed. And then as long as you don't rupture it again, you can come back to be yourself again after time. Shoulders take time. It's this weird thing where they can end careers. They could change who you are, the profile of the player you are. So it took Bellinger some time. But just look at him now. He's a 145 OPS plus. He has a 918 OPS. I mean, he's really hitting the cover off the baseball the last month for a Cubs team that, although they're not dead in the NL Central, they're not really contending. And they're kind of fooling themselves. I think the Cubs will sell by August 1st, and Bellinger will be out there. So he's making $12.5 million this year, $25 million mutual option for 2024. It's not the worst thing in the world. If Bellinger picked that up for the Phillies, it would give them another year of this kind of rotation of first base, right field, left field with their DH first base type. So I think it wouldn't kill the Phillies if he picked it up. Most likely with the year he's having, there's $50-plus million to be made in free agency for Bellinger after the season, maybe $75-plus million, maybe $100 million. So he's going to opt out, and he's going to go into free agency. That's what I think is going to happen. Now, the Phillies will be taking on some risk here. It's similar to Carlos Rodon's contract last year with the Giants, where if you trade for the guy and he gets hurt down the stretch, you're on the hook for the $25 million next year. But he's a position player. Even if he gets banged up or has a tough stretch, again, I don't think $25 next year for Bellinger for 1 year is a bad thing. So I would treat it as a rental. I think the price would be as a rental. But if he's here for next year, it's not the worst thing. One of the things I love, or two of the things I love about him, one, his strikeout percentage has plummeted. He's become a better hitter now, just overall approach, overall, you know, eye at the plate than he was when he was with the Dodgers. When he was with the Dodgers, even a couple years ago, he swung and missed a lot of swing and miss in Cody Bellinger's game. He had some years there where his batting average was really bad. He's cut his strikeout percentage down to 16.7. That's really good. I mean, most hitters these days are 20 or above. Sluggers, 25, you could find that. I mean, for 16.7, that he's putting the ball in play, and he's got athleticism, he's got speed, obviously has a lot of power. And the other thing that makes him clearly such a interesting target for the Phillies is he could play first base at a high level. He could play the outfield at a pretty high level. Now, I think he's better in left than center. I think in center, maybe those days are starting to pass him as he gets into his upper 20s. When he was younger, he could play center at an MVP kind of level defensively. That's probably moving past him. He's more of a corner outfielder, but that's what the Phillies need. They need a first baseman / corner outfielder. And I think you could do both at a high level. Really, it's a rare skill set. There's not many guys left that have it. I don't know why. More players, more quality outfielders don't also learn first base, because it just makes you more versatile, makes you more intriguing for teams. It makes the Phillies a team that I think should pursue Cody Bellinger. And according to reports last week, the Phillies have been scouting the Cubs. Now, is that for Bellinger? Is that for Stroman? Is it for lesser pieces? I don't know. But Bellinger's one that could do it. The last one I can remember doing it at a pretty high level was Nick Swisher, back with the A's, with the Yankees, the White Sox, Cleveland. He could do it. He could play center when he was young, move to the corners, but also could play first base. And it made him really versatile. And I look at Bellinger in a similar way. Maybe not his high wasn't as high. Swisher wasn't an MVP player. But the player he is now reminds me of Nick Swisher, who was a good player. And he helped, you know, that Oakland team when he was young. He helped the Yankees win a World Series. He's a good player. And I think Bellinger could be that for the next team he goes to, help a team win a championship. And the other thing I think really fits this team, this group, this time period with the Phillies is this guy's got a lot of postseason experience. You don't have to worry at all. Will Cody Bellinger, will the lights be too bright? He has 267 plate appearances in the postseason. All those years with the Dodgers, all those big games. And he wasn't always great. He had some tough series, a lot of swing and miss in his bat back in the day when he was young. But just he's had a ton of postseason experience. He would fit right in to a team whose goal right now is to make the playoffs and to win the World Series. And I just keep thinking back to, you know, Dave Dombrowski and how he builds teams. And he's used the phrase, and I think we've talked about this before, Tiger. Dombrowski's used the phrase, blue chip players win. And when I think of Cody Bellinger, this is a blue chip player. This is a former MVP. This is a guy who's been a big time player and is having a big time year. Cody Bellinger, for the fit on the field and then for the way Dave Dombrowski builds teams, he feels like someone they would go after.
Yeah, I mean, he makes a lot of sense. And for a team that's offense has really struggled, and you think about all the guys making $20-plus million in this lineup, none of them have really shown up this year. And you mentioned the one thing that I think kind of gives me pause is it's another left-handed bat on a team that's already pretty left-handed heavy, right? Like if you add him to this team, your top three hitters right now, the way they're playing, are already left-handed. And Kyle Schwarber, Bryson Stott, and Bryce Harper, those have been your three best hitters probably over the last 6 weeks or so. So if you add Cody Bellinger, all of a sudden your lineup's really top-heavy, really left-handed heavy. And we kind of saw in the postseason last year how much teams were so afraid and so focused on stopping, you know, the left-handed bats of the lineup. I mean, you kind of saw it earlier in the season too, when they went to Tampa Bay and they kept bringing out those openers to try and stifle the left-handed guys early in the game. But I mean, Cody Bellinger's really helped the Cubs out in the last like 3 weeks. He's been the hottest hitter in baseball in the month of July. He's hitting .452. He's got 22 RBIs in 19 games. He's been unbelievable. And the position versatility on a team that's, you know, pretty unorthodox right now with Bryce Harper and him, you know, being a part-time first baseman and Kyle Schwarber being a part-time left fielder, you know, having sort of that three-way fielding platoon between Schwarber, Harper, and Bellinger in first and left. I mean, he's a perfect puzzle piece for an imperfect team right now. And, you know, he doesn't get people excited the way Juan Soto does. He doesn't, you know, create headlines the way Shohei Ohtani does, but he did. He did like 4 years ago when he was MVP before he got hurt, before the pandemic season. And I don't know if he's ever going to get back to that. I don't know if he's going to, you know, compete for MVP trophies again. And this kind of hot streak he's on, I think, has really raised his price tag when the Cubs start, you know, calling around for offers in the next week or so. But yeah, if the Phillies have a chance to add a guy like Cody Bellinger, who you mentioned has postseason experience, I think it's a great fit for this team. I think he offers a lot that this team is missing, including pop, you know, in the lineup, which their home runs have been few and far between so far. And he adds plus defense at two positions where you haven't gotten it at all this season.
Well, and that last part, the way Tucker framed that platoon thing, that's it. I mean, that would make this such a good fit, because on days that Harper can't play first, Bellinger does. On days Harper can play first, Bellinger plays left field. Now,
another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let me attack the idea of the left-handedness and how it would affect the lineup. And then I'll get to the price tag and you know, the guess on what it would cost. So here's what it'll do. I think the Phillies can make this work with the lefties. They just would they couldn't do a thing where they eventually drop a Turner, drop a Castellanos if he keeps struggling, because otherwise you'd be too left-handed at the top. You kind of have to have the balance throughout, so you'd be forced all year to keep hoping, and I'm beyond hope, but keep hoping that Trey Turner figures it out. So, but here's a sample of a lineup that I put together with Bellinger, and I do think what Tucker mentioned, they just haven't hit. I mean, their guys haven't hit enough this year, and it's why they need another big bat, not just a complimentary piece, but a big bat. So here's how I would do the lineup if they acquire Bellinger. Schwarber 1, Turner 2, even though he really is killing the Phillies right now, but to keep the balance. Schwarber 1, Turner 2, Harper 3, Castellanos 4, and they have switched that back. So that's already the top four. Bellinger 5, Stott 6, Realmuto 7, Marsh 8, Bohm 9. So you go lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, lefty. So it's the only spot with two lefties. Realmuto, a righty, lefty, righty, and then obviously back to the top lefty. It's the best balance you can come up with. And I do think Stott it can hold his own. He's such an impressive, you know, hitter, and he's getting better by the day. So I think Stott can hold his own. Now, as far as the price tag would go, Tucker's right. Bellinger a month ago would have cost less than he does now. And the other thing that could make Bellinger more expensive, if it is a bidding war, let's say the Astros, let's say the Giants, the Yankees, the Phillies, is the Angels are playing better. So Ohtani might not get moved. They might just say, screw it, let's try to make the wild card with him before he leaves us anyway, or maybe he'll stay if we make the playoffs. And I don't think Soto is going to get moved. I mean, as much as I want him here, and I think it's an amazing buy to get a 24-year-old that's this good And anyone out there who doesn't want Juan Soto in the Phillies, you're nuts. But I don't think they're actually to get moved. So you start kind of tiering the bats. I don't think Goldschmidt's actually to get moved. There's a real chance Bellinger's the best bat that gets traded between now and the deadline. So is he worth what he's actually going to go for? No, but that's the cost of business. It's a marketplace. So I think because it's a rental and there, you are on the hook for potential $25 million next year, which is, I think, makes teams a little wary, especially if it's a smaller market team. Let's say the Rays. I don't think they need it, but let's say the Rays are interested. You take a team like the Rays who's interested, and all of a sudden Bellinger tweaks his back or breaks his ankle in September, they're on the hook for $25 million next year. They don't want to be. So I think it will take some suitors out. My guess is it will take one top 100 prospect for Cody Bellinger. He's a rental. It's 2 months at the minimum 2 months. Maybe you get more than that if you make the playoffs. And then maybe you throw in a low-level prospect. So like a 2-for-1. And for the Phillies, that would mean Painter, they're not going to trade for a rental Bellinger. Abel or a Justin Crawford type. I mean, that's what I think. Maybe it would be more like a Griff Bagheri, who's not quite on the top 100 list, but like a Justin Crawford or a Griff Bagheri leads the deal, one of those two. And then, you know, a low-level prospect. That's what I think it would get. And for the Phillies, where they are right now, I think it's a risk worth taking. You know, to trade, let's say, a Griff Bagheri or a Justin Crawford, one of those two, and then a low-level prospect to get a Cody Bellinger if he's the best bat, I would do it. I think this guy is having an incredible bounce back year. Again, fits, like Tucker said, the puzzle. He's the puzzle piece, and there's not many guys that fit this bill. I'm at the point now with how poor this offense has been, how little they're getting out of Turner, how, you know, Castellanos has gone backwards here, zero power basically from Bryce Harper. I can't worry about left-right. I need to worry about impact. And right now, the Phillies are not getting enough impact from their big hitters. Bellinger is right now an impactful bat. You put him here, you bring him to Citizens Bank Park, I think it'd be a really nice match. Cody Bellinger feels like the most, and I'll use Tucker's line, on an imperfect team, he's a perfect fit. On a team that really could use two different things, he's both at the same time. I like the idea of Cody Bellinger. Of all the options that are likely available, possibly available, definitely available, Bellinger makes the most sense for the Phillies. Go get him, put him in the middle of the order, play him at first, play him at left. I think Cody Bellinger in a bounce back season as a former MVP could be a really, really nice trade acquisition for the Phillies and Dave Dombrowski. Appreciate everyone listening. Lots to talk about tomorrow on WIP Daily. Remember, subscribe to the YouTube page and, of course, follow the podcast, whatever your podcast, WIP Daily. Thank you so much for watching and listening.